I think something that I'm very proud of is that we have made adjustments and changes as the years have gone on, and the industry's changed in several ways. I mean, it starts with our name, which a lot of people may not know, is that we, and you probably don't know, we were the Foil Stamping and Embossing Association. That's what we were for several years.
Oh, because, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's really what we concentrated on.
What's up, everyone? It's Eric Vessels with Tactful. Welcome back to yet another episode of Tactful Tuesdays. As I sometimes do, I forget the number, but you'll know the episode when you see it. It'll be labeled. But today I'm really thrilled to have a great guest with me, someone who's been really at the forefront of pushing the boundaries of print, finishing, and embellishment, Jeff Peterson. Jeff's the executive director of the FSEA. Jeff's been a driving force behind everything from industry research, high impact events, and he's played a key role in elevating how we talk about foil, specialty effects, and now digital embellishments. So we're going to dig into a bunch of good stuff. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have you. We have a lot of juicy stuff to talk about. I kind of want to dig into FSEA, the Digital Embellishment Alliance, Amplify Print. So I've got a, I'm going to pepper you with a list of questions. And then of course I got my normal Tactful Tuesdays. We're going to dive into who Jeff the man is. What does he do outside of all the stuff that we see? And we'll see where it takes you.
Okay.
For those who aren't as familiar, share with me a little bit about what FSEA is. What's the core mission and how has that evolved over the years?
You know, I always talk about FSEA, Eric, really twofold. First of all, part of our mission is to educate our members, and our members are identified as really any business, you know, that's printing related, that's involved in print embellishments, print finishing as well. Doesn't always have to be. We have several members that are not actually really embellishing, and both supplier and users who might be doing die cutting, folding glue, you know, mounting, laminating, you know, finishing techniques. But, you know, the majority of them are involved in some type of embellishments as well. UV coating, laminating, and certainly foil stamping, cold foil. And as you mentioned, one of our biggest growth areas, and that's in the digital embellishment, digital spot coating, digital foils. So all of that falls under there. So we do a lot of things to help educate that through Amplify. We'll talk about later. We have a conference on the off years of Amplify. We do, you know, webinar, and, you know, we've created several studies, both from the impact of embellishments on consumer choices, as well lately, we've done quite a bit of work on sustainability, especially with metallics and metallic decorating. It's been on the forefront. And so we've done a lot of work there that's been extremely successful to help our members kind of fight the fight the myths that are out there about recycling and so forth.
Yeah, yeah. If anyone's watched Kevin and I do our presentations, they'll know that we leverage a lot of FSEA study data, the Clemson eye tracking study, a lot of the packaging studies that you guys have done. And the cool thing about this show is, like, we don't always have to talk about embellishments, right? Tactful Tuesdays is just sort of for the industry. If we have an opportunity to get into our wheelhouse, we definitely want to talk about it, but it's all good. It's good to get to know folks in the industry and what they're doing. So you've been leading FSEA for quite a while now. I wanted to ask you, what's one thing that you're really proud of that the association has accomplished?
You know, I think something that I'm very proud of is that we have made adjustments and changes as the years have gone on, and the industry's changed in several ways. I mean, it starts with our name, which a lot of people may not know, is that we, and you probably don't know, we were the Foil Stamping and Embossing Association. That's what we were for several years. Because
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's really what we concentrated on. And then other embellishments started to grow, and other ways of using foil started to grow. And we came up, you know, and most people still know us as FSEA. So we kept the FSEA word and changed
I like
the actual
it.
Name.
So you sit down, you guys sit down in a series of meetings and we're like, what else starts with S? Right. What else starts
what
with E?
That's still FSEA and not just be tied in the foil stamping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so, you know, I love that so much.
A simple thing, but, you know, it really made a big difference, Eric, because we were able to kind of expand into different areas, coatings, and certainly some of the other metallic effects, cold foil, which kind of came before digital embellishments and digital foil. And then, of course, that flew into the scene, and we were prepared to, you know, bring that in as well. So we've made those adjustments and changes, brought in, you know, new people and new, you know, new techniques into the association.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question since it's right here in front of us and not really wait. Change management. Like, what have you learned about how to manage change both externally and internally when you're having to deal with the amount of change that you've dealt with over the years and staying relevant? I think it's true not only for just like associations, you know, nonprofits, but also companies. Like, how do you, how have you learned to sort of see the change coming? And then how have you learned to institute changes in response to the market changes within your organization?
You know, I think, Eric, we're a small business. I know you know we have a publishing side of our business, and we publish the magazine for FSEA. We have some other magazines we do. It's kind of association driven. But through our whole staff of about 14 people, we're doing the publishing and running FSEA as well. So I think being a small business, we've been able to make adjustments pretty quickly, rather versus a much larger, even association management or larger association company.
Yeah.
We've been able to make those adjustments pretty quickly. And I do think that's maybe I feel like you said, I think that's something I'm kind of proud of, that we have been able to look at things and make those changes pretty quickly. And, you know, a lot of things we've done, you know what, our magazine name changed over the years because we needed to be a little bit more, you know, bring in more overall post press versus kind of concentrating just on the foil. But we've done a lot of different things like that. We're always making adjustments on our events. You know, it amazes me. You think that you know what you're doing after almost 20 years, but every time we do one, we're saying, well, we did that wrong, or we need to adjust and do this differently.
Yeah.
Even things like, you'll know this being around for a long time, that used to be, you did events down in Florida or Arizona and all these cool places. Well, you know what? It really doesn't make that much sense to do that, in my opinion, anymore. I think you're better off going to areas where people can drive or get to relatively easy.
For sure.
And they get, you know what, employees are getting, they'll get an approval to attend an event that's in Chicago or Milwaukee sooner than they will to say, hey, I want to go to Vegas for 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's the boondoggle effect. That's a pretty high bar, the boondoggle, right?
Yes, yeah. And I think that's changed, though. They all used to be more the boondoggle type of event. So anyways, I think that we've been able to make those adjustments pretty quickly, look at them from a higher level to make the changes when we need to.
So I would say, it sounds like stay nimble would be your advice, right? And even if you're a part of a larger organization, at least have a nimble mindset, like at least have functional teams that can kind of respond quickly to stuff. But speaking of change and change management and responding to stuff, I want to talk about the DEA a little bit, the Digital Embellishment Alliance. What is that and what inspired its creation?
I think we're going, you know, we're over, I think, 2 years now. I know time flies that when we started the Digital Embellishment Alliance. And certainly there was I had some discussion with Kevin Abergel, of course, the president of Tactiful that you work with closely. And, you know, we were just as an organization seeing so much change and growth in that area and an area that needed education. And of course, I know that you guys concentrate on that. And we saw it too and knew that it was needed and it was new. And that what we did with FSEA, a lot of things transferred over, but having a little more focus specifically to that group. And a lot of the people involved in that area never have been in embellishments before. So it was so new that, you know, having something that they could look at directly and say, oh, that makes sense for me, I think was a key. And it's, you know, and it's gone really well. You know, we started our own community website for DEA, and we're doing a monthly, what we call a DEA catch up, you know, where that people can sign up for if they're, you know, if they've signed up on the website. So anybody that wants to do that, they can go to FSEA.com and then go into the digital embellishment community and sign up for that. So that's been good. We always have a lot of great topics and you know, there's a lot of education that still needs to be done there. And
Yep.
So, and on, and here's the other real quick thing is what's interesting on the digital embellishment side is a lot of our mainstay members that we've had forever, which the, our traditional member is what we call a trade or trade print finisher. You know, several of those companies have invested in digital. And so it's, even though they've been in finishing and embellishments for a long time, you know, the digital side, it's, we know it's different, and it is totally different.
Yeah.
You know, people like, you know, Stephen Roberts will tell you that from, you know, Elite Print. You know, we have several people that have been longtime members. He's on my board. You know, it's, they've been successful with it, but it takes a while because it's totally different than foil stamping and some of the other stuff they do.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that's, you know, and that's how we, you know, we obviously, you know, collaborate and work with you guys. I've unfortunately, the last two hangouts that you, that DEA had, like a massive schedule conflict for me, I couldn't drop in. But yeah, I think that's it. And I think you're, you know, it seems like the time is right for expanding into that area. And I know that's like all the work that we do is educating, and however we can continue to get that out there, we'll continue to do. You'll support that, and we appreciate that support too. Let's talk about Amplify. It's back in June, this time in Chicago. For folks who've never been, how would you describe the vibe of Amplify Print?
Well, you know, we've had one, our first event was 2022. It went well. You know, we were a little concerned because we're just coming off, you know, COVID basically. And
yeah,
but we had a great event in Minneapolis, and everybody, you know, honestly was really happy with the turnout of, and what we tried to do for the most part, you know, what we tried to do was bring in even the creative side and the production side, you know, all those different elements of embellishments. And I think, you know, we were really, you know, successful with that. And we're certainly bringing that back this year. You know, the plan will be to have Amplify every other year, but when we started looking in the 20, go, oh boy, it's Drupa. And do we want to fall on Drupa year coming back for the second time, knowing we need to really make this a great event to, you know, back up the first one. So we decided to go one more year forward. So that's why it'll be now this year. We'll stay on the odd years moving forward. But yeah, we're super excited about it, Eric. We've got some great programming. We're about 80% sold out right now on booths. So we're, you know, with, you know, several people, we're working out to fill those last 10 by 20. So we're pretty positive we'll be sold out. And I guess I want to, you know, talk about one of the interesting parts about our event is our technology zone. And what the technology zone does is we'll have, I think right now we've got 5 or 6 pieces of equipment that'll sit into the zone. The booths form around that technology zone. And then we do actual programming and demonstration with a specific time on those machines in the technology zone.
Nice.
Yeah, and you might remember that from Minneapolis. So I know you were up there, but. So, well, you know, if you go on to the amplifyprint.org site, you can go in the technology zone and see everything we're going to have. But, you know, we just got everything put together for a signature folder gluer, which is a big thing for a lot of the carton people, with a WH Leary glue system, an impact packer. It's going to be a whole finishing line that'll be part of that. Sakurai has a screen coater that will have both a foil unit on it. And what's really exciting is that Bright Technologies has a cast and cure unit that sits on the Sakurai to apply the cast and cure holographic clear film, you know, look to it. So that's going to be part of it and part of the presentations. And we're going to be on the roll-to-roll side. So Cartez and Diversified Graphic Machinery has a digital foil and spot coating roll-to-roll label press, and they'll be programming on it as well. Fuji has a digital print and embellishment press. Who am I missing? Oh, Comma, which is part of Absolute. It's a foil stamper embosser. So we kind of have different areas covered too. You can see through digital, through standard foil stamping. We've got specialty UV coating with the Sakurai, and then several machines on the show floor, you know, on the floor. Not everything, of course, will be in there. So several pieces of finishing, both finishing and embellishment equipment on the floor too.
Yeah, it feels like there's definitely the space available for something focused on embellishment, right? Focused on this area because it's such a growth area. So yeah, I look forward to being there. We're going to do some speaking. We'll also have information about Tactful there. We're going to be there with a pretty big presence. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah,
but I want to wind up here by taking a little bit of a step backwards. And I want to ask, because you've traveled a lot and you've been to a lot of events, a lot of conferences, what's your favorite city to visit?
That's an interesting question. I think, from a travel standpoint, as far as work goes, I mean, I really do love Chicago. Chicago is one of my favorite cities still.
And yeah,
there's been some concerns with Chicago in some ways, but I was at an event downtown in the fall and had a wonderful time. And, all the different places that you can, eat and so forth around shows. And then where we're going to have, which will be at Rosemont, I didn't mention that, but June 10th and through 12th in Rosemont, that used to be a area where there wasn't hardly anything going on. And now there's a lot of different restaurants and places to go.
Casino close by,
Yeah, got to go to Gibson's and at least one night.
Everybody, yeah, Gibson's, you got it.
That's my favorite steak place, which maybe is one reason I like Chicago. Gibson's my favorite steak place, and I travel quite a lot anywhere. So, but I love Chicago. I think, I've enjoyed going to, or more shows are going down to Orlando. And I wouldn't say I love Orlando as a city overall, but
right.
I really, when I go there for an event, I like it because usually the weather's fairly nice. The hotels are pretty inexpensive, and a lot of times they'll have outdoor areas to sit and hang out. So I like Orlando for shows.
Nice. So what do you do to unwind?
What's that?
What do you do to unwind? Get out of work mode, relax.
I am a golfer, so I...
All right.
Yep, I golf, when I can, when I'm home, and I try to even on the road sometimes, play golf. So
That helps you unwind, though? I find that to be a very frustrating sport.
Yeah, it can be. And it can be, but I do enjoy it. So I'm golfing. I'm a big sports fan.
Nice.
I'm going to go ahead and send you a Chiefs hat so you can replace that Steelers hat.
No, no, no. That's not gonna happen. That's not gonna happen. Even if they never win a playoff game again, it's not gonna happen. I'm 4 years old, man.
And our business and we live close to Kansas University, KU, so Jayhawks, Chiefs.
Also not a fan because that's dyslexic. It's supposed to be U and then K. Not K and then U.
So,
all right, one last thing.
There's some of the things that I enjoy doing on the.
All right, last and final question. Here's the curveball. What's one thing people may be surprised to learn about?
Let's see.
That they might not know.
They would hidden not talent, know.
Hidden talents, unexpected hobbies, things that you'd be like, really?
That's Jeff does that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Something. Give me something juicy, Jeff. Come on.
Something really juicy that I enjoy doing. I do like going, I like country music and going to concerts. And
that doesn't surprise me though. That doesn't surprise me.
No, I guess that wouldn't be surprising that I like country music. And yeah, I like a lot of the new country music. And
nice.
I'm a music guy that,
Go to a lot of shows. Do you go to a lot of shows?
I'll go to, four or five during the year. And sometimes we'll look around, my wife, Gayla, she travels with me a lot. So, we'll look around and sometimes go to concerts connected to traveling for business and stay.
Absolutely. Best thing ever.
There's a new guy named Bailey Zimmerman, who's got some great music.
Okay.
It's kind of new country stuff, but, some of the other guys that are new, Luke Combs and Chris Stapleton and all those guys.
Oh, Chris Stapleton. That's my big karaoke song is Tennessee Whiskey.
That's a great song. There you go.
So
that's a little bit about you. You like to sing karaoke.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think it's public knowledge not to hand me a mic. Like everyone knows not to hand me a mic. Don't do
it. All right. Well, we might have to amplify in a couple months. You never know.
Yeah, we'll do something. You know, you never know, man. I love going to concerts as well. I would choose like punk rock or heavy rock or something. But listen, as long as you are supplementing your life in some way and balancing it out and having some fun and unwinding and letting your everybody's got to do that. Jeff, thank you for struggling through some of our technical difficulties and for being on the show with me. I really appreciate it. The update on FSEA, DEA, and Amplify Print, which everybody needs to go to here in a couple of months. Hope to see you there. Really exciting stuff happening. Let's continue to work together to educate on digital embellishments and all things print. And yeah, rock on, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Eric. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, man. See you.
One of my most defining career moments, I don't know, I think for me, it's always been about passing up on opportunities that didn't serve me, honestly, you know, because, you know, I've had the opportunity to be in a lot of different leadership roles. And unfortunately, sometimes I might have found myself there maybe for the wrong reasons, right? Like maybe the money was really good, but at the end of the day, like I didn't really have any peace.